Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's a pleasure to be with you today. We have listened to Jen Psaki's press briefing and talked a little bit about that in the first hour. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it on the radio.com app, where you just find 97.1 FM Talk. Click the little heart next to it, favorite it, and you can go listen to our show anytime it's live. You can rewind it. You can also subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcasts. One of the issues here, certainly in the St. Louis Metro East, that I know has been near and dear to many people's hearts is athletics. Obviously, getting kids back in school is a huge deal around here. We have some kids who are in school. We have some kids who are not in school. I have to say, I've been so grateful this year for a parochial school option for my children, as they've been in class, the classroom every day this school year. And it is a night and day difference based on how the second semester of last year went, when we didn't know as much about coronavirus. Getting kids back in school is very important, but we are also seeing the importance of getting athletes back on the field and on the court. And I want to welcome our next guest on. Congressman Darren LaHood joins us now, representing the 18th Congressional District of Illinois, has called on the governor to lift these restrictions on our youth and on our high school athletes. Congressman, it is a pleasure to have you on the Annie Fry Show. Thank you so much for the time today.
Well, Annie, thank you. It's great to be with you and your listeners today.
So I have to ask you, you know, what motivated you to take this extra step and speak on this issue? What have you identified with these athletes who are being kept from their court, their field, their practice? Why do these kids need to get back in school? Why is that important to you?
Well, Annie, it's vitally important that we get our kids back playing sports in the state of Illinois. And what's frustrating is my congressional district that I represent, it borders Iowa and Missouri. And I look right across the river, whether it's in Hannibal, Missouri, or whether it's in Iowa, and I see kids playing sports. My wife and I are fortunate to have three teenage boys that play sports. And my wife was an athlete. And I played high school sports. Sports are so important to kids. And what is just terrible this year is our governor has refused to let kids play sports in the state of Illinois. 45 other states are now playing basketball or about ready to play basketball. Illinois still is not. So I wrote a letter this week to the governor, and I stressed to him the importance of sports for kids' competitiveness, for their physical well-being, for the mental aspect. Unfortunately, Annie, we've had some tragic suicides across the state of Illinois over the past 6 or 7 months here with kids not playing sports. And I will just say this, 1 year to an adult, we can get through that. But 1 year to a sophomore or junior or senior is an eternity. And we're crushing the dreams of these kids. That's why we need to have sports open back up. And so I wrote a pretty strong letter expressing my frustration to the governor. And I got a lot of support from coaches and athletic directors and parents and families all over the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I have to say, here in southern Illinois, I'm located on the east side of where I live and where I send my children to school or my husband teaches. We're seeing such a drastic difference. Like you said, we border Missouri. These kids, they're playing. They're playing in Missouri. They figured out leagues to go play elsewhere. And I just can't imagine that the west side of Missouri, of the Mississippi River, is any less or more dangerous from coronavirus to these students than it is in the state of Illinois. What is the science behind the governor's mandate, the IHSA's decision so far to go along with this? What are they basing this off of?
Well, that's a great question. And the frustrating part is they won't reveal that. They have not revealed that. And you know, that just leaves people that are, listen, we have smart, bright people in our schools, whether they're superintendents, whether they're athletic directors, whether they're coaches. These are responsible people. To your point, Annie, you know, I represent Quincy, Illinois. What's different from Quincy, Illinois than driving across the river to Hannibal, Missouri? There's absolutely nothing. And let's face it. What sports are, basketball is going to be done differently. We're not going to pack the gymnasiums, but we can do it in a responsible way, a proactive way. We're going to exercise, you know, social distancing when it comes to fans. To your point, Annie, that you look at the transmission rates for coronavirus for kids. I mean, it's virtually nil in all these states. How can 40 to 45 other states be doing it and not the state of Illinois? We haven't gotten a good answer. The governor continues to sit up in Chicago and not come downstate to answer these questions. And again, this is a boiling point for many of us in downstate Illinois. And by the way, this transcends politics. This is about kids. This is about our future. This is about, you know, the tragic aspects of what not having sports has done to our youth.
I completely agree with you. We're speaking with Congressman Darren LaHood in the 18th Congressional District of Illinois. You know, I look at some of the universities that have played. I think, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head, I remember a Northwestern game being played in-state. I think the University of Illinois has maybe conducted some games in-state. You would think that the younger you are, from what we've heard from, you know, science, the younger you are, the less effective that coronavirus is going to be to you. We haven't had any catastrophic instances in the sports world where coronavirus has really taken a hold of these youth athletes. Strange to me that these, you know, public universities are able to take the court or the field and play, and our high school students aren't, especially with the outrage that I'm hearing from so many voters and taxpayers and parents and kids themselves who are speaking up saying, please just let us play.
Yeah, to your point, Annie, yes, all of the Division I and Division II and some Division III colleges in Illinois are participating in sports. They're having basketball. University of Illinois is, Northwestern is, Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, Western Illinois. They're all doing it. And that's the frustrating part. The other point, too, Annie, is kids or families that have some resources, what are they doing? They're sending their kids out of state. They're going to school in Iowa or Missouri, Indiana. And or they're playing on travel teams that play out of state. The kids that are hurt the most are the kids that need mentoring, that need coaching. These are the underprivileged kids that can't afford to be on a travel team or go move out of state. They're the ones that are affected the most. But again, that seems to fall on deaf ears to our governor and the Illinois Department of Public Health. And again, that's why we wrote this strong letter. The High School Association is meeting on January 27th to address this. They want to open back up. But again, the governor is the one that's been stopping this.
So regarding the IHSA, that meeting that you just mentioned there, is there something that parents right now can do or that students or anybody can do right now to influence or make sure people are informed about where they stand on this issue, some action that people can take?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, social media is probably the best way to do that, but obviously the IHSA has a website. They're active on Facebook and Twitter and social media. I can just tell you this, our letter that we generated to the governor yesterday, which you can find on our social media page, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or other platforms, I mean, it's gone viral. I mean, we have, again, people that are forwarding that and getting the word out there. And again, we hope that makes a difference. The IHSA is actually based in my district in Bloomington, Illinois. You know, I've talked to them. They're waiting for guidance on the Illinois Department of Public Health and the governor. So, listen, I want the governor to make the right decision here. We believe the evidence dictates that. Every other state is doing it. And that's the perplexing part, Annie, is when you look to other states that are doing this in a responsible way, exercising all the precautions that you need to, why can't Illinois do that? Do you not have enough faith in the people that are responsible for our kids and schools to do that? It defies common sense.
Congressman Darren LaHood, 18th District of Illinois, on the phone with us. Congressman, you're leading the charge on this with sports in particular. Have you been looking at, since you're a representative in the Illinois House, have you been looking at even the legality that the governor can accomplish these things? I mean, is that an avenue to take to try to stop this from happening?
Well, yeah, I serve in the U.S. Congress and not in the Illinois House. However, I did in a prior life serve in the Illinois legislature. To your question, listen, I'm a recovering lawyer, but I spent 10 years as a state and federal prosecutor, and I have followed all of the legal cases that have been filed all over the state of Illinois. Unfortunately, we have not had the proper outcome that we've wanted in these legal cases. In federal court and state court, judges have sided with the governor and his ability, because of the health pandemic, to use his powers to do that. That is extremely frustrating, and I've been very vocal on that, and a lot of others have done that. But there has been guidance and threshold put out there for the governor to follow, and we believe he is not properly following that. So I anticipate there'll be more legal cases coming down the pike.
Congressman, regarding, just so that everybody is clear here, you've written this letter to Governor J.B. Pritzker to lift the restrictions on youth and high school athletics to let them play. Everybody else around us right now is playing. Illinois students, our Illinois kids, are not playing right now because of whose decision? Is it Governor Pritzker's mandate that's holding this up? Is it IDPH? Is it the IHSA? Who makes the decision here that decides whether our kids are back on the field or whether they're still sitting in their basements doing Zoom meetings and missing out on this experience?
Well, it's the governor that decides that. The Illinois Department of Public Health is his agency. It's his people in charge. He's got physicians and doctors and public health people there making those decisions. So it is his decision to do that along with them. Again, we have laid out in our letter, the predicate information in there that allows him to open up. And again, we've asked for the evidence to show that there are health risks or that there are transmission rates that we're not aware of. We have not seen that. This applies in the city of Chicago, the suburbs, and of course in downstate Illinois. So we think we make a good argument. And again, I have told my athletic directors and superintendents and families to talk to the governor about this. So we're optimistic on January 27th with my letter and a lot of other input that they'll make the right decision.
Well, I have to say, as a former four-sport athlete in Illinois, as an IHSA athlete, my family is full of officials, people who referee football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball. And just the tax that this is taking on so many people right now, and these students who are having to cope in a way that they are really honestly too young to deal with something like this being taken away from them without the science to back it up. I'm very, very grateful and to you, Congressman. I've had so many people send me your letter. So thank you for bringing this conversation to the forefront so that we can speak with you and so that other people can see that there is representation out there right now willing to speak up and hopefully do something that's going to benefit our kids. It is so very necessary, and we're grateful for you for that.
Well, thank you for that, Annie. And sports is such a huge part of our kids' lives, and it means so much for them to compete and be active. And, you know, some of these kids, whether you name your sport, Annie, they have worked for years and years and years to get to this point. And again, you're crushing their dreams by not allowing them to play, particularly when other states are doing it. There is time left. We still can have a basketball season. We hope this change happens, and we're going to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, get folks, if this is a passion for you, get on social media and make some noise, be respectful, and we'll share this article that or this letter that you wrote and make sure that people are connected with it. Congressman LaHood, thank you so much for the time today. We're very grateful for it.
Thanks, Annie. Have a great weekend. Take care.
You as well. Thank you so much. It was very exciting to see the level of which this conversation is being elevated with a congressman, a United States congressman, talking about this. And I have to tell you, I mean, the Missouri leagues have to be full right now, right across the river, with Illinois kids who are just looking for an opportunity to play. Just give them the opportunity to play. And honestly, when you consider in all the factors of COVID mitigations that you can employ, at this point, Just set the mitigations, set the regulations that you need to employ to make it so these kids can get on the field and get back to some normalcy. Stop taking this away from them. You have no science to back up your decision, Governor Pritzker, because if you did, we'd have it. You'd be stomping on it and on your soapbox about it all the time. Put the kids back in play. Stop blocking them. You're making the wrong decision. We're going to take a quick break and get some reaction to this and welcome Gabe Pfeiffer literally in the studio today. Very excited to have Gabe coming in here in just a minute. So St. John the Philosopher is going to be with us and we'll have some conversation. And don't forget, in that 2 o'clock hour, we do an Ask Me Anything. If you've got questions for us, we'd love to answer it, or maybe not, but especially the ones that we don't want to answer. Those are the ones I really want to ask. So share them with us on our Facebook Live or the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have a good life.
Reminder of that voice, which I don't think I've played anything from President Trump since Joe Biden was inaugurated.
Sure.
I was kind of purposely trying to stay away from it because I want to give Joe Biden the opportunity and his administration to show us who they're going to be. I mean, I'm pretty sure that I have an idea of what it's going to be like. But let me give you 48 hours or at least the rest of the work week here to let your actions speak louder than my words. That's kind of the way that I have been approaching this. There's not really a whole lot. Is there anything that I'm excited about that I've heard? I'm trying to think and I can't come up with anything. But, you know, again, listening to Jen Psaki and the economic director that was on with us doing the press briefing in the noon hour. I want you to hear how those press briefings are going for yourself so that you can make your first judgment on how you feel about it before I tell you how I feel about it. I think that's something that I want to try to do more, which is expose you to the original source of information before we pour into the opinion about it, because then guess what? You get to formulate your own thoughts on it. We get to have a discussion about it. We might agree every time, we might disagree every time, or we might be 50-50. But I want you to have that opportunity to consume this information and think on it yourself for a second before we lay into it. I am curious what Gabe Pfeiffer has to think about.
Yeah, I'm a freaking genius.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
Brilliant!
Knowledge is power.
So, Gabe Pfeiffer, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Thanks for being here. You're in studio today with Katie. It's pretty exciting.
Yes, I love it. And so Katie exciting. And I have been talking so much in the break.
I know. Like, she's talking to you and not to me. What is up with this?
Well, the thing is, like, when you haven't had time to sit with basically old friends,
yeah.
You just want to catch up. It's like, oh, what are you thinking now? What am I thinking now? Is what's going on with you?
You guys, I see you. You're just chatting. Just I'm just sitting here
just
watching,
going.
Not knowing what you're saying, like everybody else on the live stream.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're happy to have you back. I'm just going to let you just react in general to since Wednesday afternoon, we have a new president of the United States. How you feeling?
Well, I mean, kind of like I said on social media, I'm going to be praying for this guy too. That's the start, at least, that, regardless of kind of how you think things went in the 2020 election, I have my doubts, but he's a president now, so I'm going to pray for him like I pray for all of our leaders. But at the same time, I'm recognizing where he's coming from. And he's got almost as many executive orders now as he has hours in the presidency. So and a few of them are not so great. But it's about as expected. You know, we said, you know, he's going to ban fracking, and well, he's banned fracking on federal land. He's cut the XL pipeline, so you know we've got thousands of lost jobs, and he's put our American energy independence at risk. He's going to raise the cost of everything because fuel goes into everything. Yeah, I mean, and then the $15 minimum wage thing, and that's going to raise costs for things. That's a good way to kill the small businesses that are still struggling to get out from under the lockdown economy. So, yeah, we're going to be in for a tough time. Now's the time to double down and to actually fight. And that's actually what my next few videos on my YouTube channel are going to be about. I've just finished the script for the first one, and I'm going to be recording that when I get home today.
Fantastic. Well, you can go to St. John the Philosopher on YouTube, subscribe to Gabe's channel there, and check out his thoughts and opinions, and as he reacts to whatever's going on that tickles his fancy. He's got to get it off his chest. I want to read a couple comments here from the YouTube page, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, which I would also invite you to subscribe to. We're kind of close to 2,000 subscribers, and I will remind you that I have no imminent threats of being shut down or canceled in any capacity on any of our social media platforms, but we are trying to grow all of them in the event we get the hammer that we still have a way to connect with you. And we're pushing 15,000 likes on our Facebook page, and we're pushing 2,000 on the YouTube channel. So if you're up for it and you want to subscribe to us, we'd be very grateful for it, because again, if the day comes where one of those gets shut down, we're going to have to lean on the other, and we want to make sure that we can still connect with you. So Paul on the YouTube channel has two comments here. I'm going to read them. If you're born or unborn, aren't certain freedoms and basic human needs required? And he also says, all I know is that people deserve to eat and have access to basic human rights and needs. Heck, I'm libertarian more than anything, but facts are facts. Just want to look forward for perspective. And okay. So there's a bit of a discussion here going on about minimum wage, and you know, I think on the YouTube channel, people are kind of discussing the idea of universal basic income, which is one of the reasons why I love kind of keeping an eye on the chat, especially in the breaks and catching up, because I love the discussions that evolve out of people with differing opinions coming together and talking about these things. But I want to ask you guys about that, the idea of basic human rights and needs. And who's responsible for
those
them.
Are different things.
Well, and also, you know, there's a big question mark here, which is, if you have a need, who's responsible for filling that need? And when I look at the United States government, any government, but the United States government, and if I'm looking to them for a solution, I have to remind myself and anybody else having this conversation that the United States government doesn't really have anything. They have no resources. The United States government doesn't own money. They have to take it from somewhere in order to fund all of that. The United States government doesn't control the manufacturing or the products that this country makes. They don't. You know who does? We do. And we make the money making the products, providing the services, and then they say, this is our fair share, this is our cut. And then they allocate that accordingly. So, Gabe, I just want to get your reaction to that first. You know, because I think it's an honorable question to say, you know, let's think about basic human needs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see anybody go hungry. I don't want to see anybody go without a roof over their head. How do we reconcile in this country the idea that those things aren't so basic that they should be provided from ... What do you think, Gabe?
Well, as I say on my YouTube channel and in other things, I actually have a video specifically about rights. I think it's called How We Get Rights Wrong. And you might want to check that out. But the hallmark of a solid principle on which to do anything is that it's universal. That the principle is so basic, concentrated in its thrust and its meaning that you can use it to build an artifice about, you know, how to apply it in any situation in any way possible. So the thing is, rights. First of all, rights and needs are different things. I need love. I don't have a right to it. Yeah. Now, why is that? Why is there a difference there? Because the thing about rights is, at its core, a right, or at least particularly a human right, is one that does not require the action of anyone other than yourself. That's kind of at least partially the best way I can say it right now. It's something that if you were alone on a desert island, these are the things that you would have a right to, or more importantly, rights are only need to be articulated when you have more than one person, because the violation of it is what's in question. So you have two people on this desert island. If I go and I collect a whole bunch of coconuts, I'm providing for my need to eat, my own personal need. I cannot make a demand on the other person to do that. If I do so, it usually has to require force, and that's called slavery. But and here's the other thing. If I collect a whole bunch of coconuts, those are mine. I have personal property rights to those things, the fruits of my labor.
Animal Crossing?
I don't know.
Because you're just describing my entire island in Animal Crossing, which this conversation is going to be relevant to probably 14 people in our listening
there
audience.
There you go. So,
but
so,
you're collecting coconuts on my island, I mean.
There you go. Well, you go. Janet and I are planning our renewal of vows and a honeymoon after, and we're talking about tropical, so I guess my mind's on islands.
There you go.
But
you can talk about that for the rest of the show. take me to that happy place. I am ready but, to put the sunnies on and go.
So the thing is, if I have a pile of coconuts, I have property rights associated with those because I have put labor into acquiring them. Yeah. If somebody comes along and tries to take one, even though he's trying to fulfill his need for food, he is violating my right to the property, and the property is the fruit of my labor. He's stealing my labor. I keep going back to the slavery thing because that's kind of at the root of it. When you take somebody's labor, you're trying to make them a slave for that period of time.
One might call it a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
It's
D-D-D, I think. And I know that from Zazu in Lion King.
My deepest apologies.
Oh, Zazu.
Real quick, in the scene in The Lion King where Scar is singing, where that song is
He's
being
making
sung,
him sing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's got a skull in that's singing back to him. I just saw this thing on social media, which means it's absolutely true.
It's an antelope.
They're suggesting that's Mufasa's skull.
No, I thought it was an antelope skull.
I like your idea better, but go back. I've seen the diagrams of skulls comparing a lion's skull.
Is it a lion's skull?
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Now
I really want to think.
Why do you
that
people
Scar
make me
didn't
jump
go
to
eat
YouTube,
Mufasa so... and then play with his skull? Because that's the darkest thing that Disney has ever done. I want to ask you real quick,
metal.
Ryan, react to what Gabe was saying. What do you think about it?
Yeah, well, he was kind of approaching it. we would agree on this, I think. He was approaching it from the top down. I would approach it from the bottom up and say that as much as I love rugged individualism and the American ideal of that, we all as people, not just Americans, but people, we all need something above us. We all look to something above us to provide our needs. Back to your original question.
We all need somebody to lean on.
We all need somebody. Oh, gosh.
The reference.
Songs all over the place.
I was just going to start singing a song. And there are very different ways to approach that, but it's the same need. Same need across the board. We all look to something greater than ourselves to provide for us. And if you don't have God in that spot, you look to government. And it's one of the reasons that our government just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding as the role of God in our society keeps shrinking and shrinking and shrinking because we need something bigger than us. And you're right, Annie, the government doesn't have any money, but it keeps pretending it does. And we keep looking to the government for all that money. At some point, that money's going to run out.
Christopher says on Facebook, I like that Gabe's example is literally fruits of his labor. And then he also says,
you get it.
Annie Fry Show, it is a lion skull. What no one has mentioned yet is that the bird cage is Mufasa's rib cage.
Barf.
It
and
is a rib cage.
Whoa.
See, I'm watching
We're
going
to take
now.
A quick break and go to Real or Fake News when we come back and do some really hardcore research. You know who could get to the bottom of this? I think that this would be a good question for Jen Psaki to answer in her next press briefing, because I think that's where we could get some real hard facts on whether or not Scar is a carnivorous. Obviously he is. He's a lion. Cannibalistic? Are you cannibalistic if you eat your own, or just is that just it's just if you eat your own?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I saw that and I was like, I do not want to even permit this in my head, but now I've put it in yours. Let's do some research. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy to have you with us here today. And it's taken this long to get through the stack of contract negotiation papers and lawyers and all of the people that stand between somebody as big of a deal as Rob Kramer and our little show to get him back on. And we have one Rob Kramer. There are three people in the studio right now. Katie is one of them.
Woo-hoo!
And Rob, hi, how are you?
Hi.
What's going on?
You know, I'm outstanding, still improving. Thank you for asking.
Still.
We don't have Rob's intro. I miss Rob's intro.
Okay, let me get that. Let me just, you know what?
I think we all
just add that to the plate.
Do you want to put the music back up?
I'm sorry.
And then
we'll add to the 40,000 things that Katie's currently
doing. So, Gabe, now that you're in studio, I'm going to tell you something. Is you don't throw to the producer to do something right now.
There's a lot of
like sign language and things that go on in the background.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Katie makes it happen like smooth butter.
That's true.
Instead of you have his intro ready.
Instead of telling her to do that, where she has to say, okay, I have to do it right now. We do one more thing. Everything I got to do right now. Get down.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
You can get this life too if you work hard and stop being bitter and busted.
I don't follow rules. I follow dogs on social media.
So, in part of our contract negotiations was that Rob would not have to prepare anything for his segment.
Yeah, we're starting off the new year a little slow, but don't worry. It's we got a lot of time left in front of us, you know.
You sound like the Biden administration.
Patience. Which way am I going with this?
You don't have to comment on that. That's not why you're here.
Real quick, did you see the little clip of Biden and Dr. Biden walking into, I forget which building it was in D.C., and you hear President Biden mutter under his breath, salute the Marines. That's right, salute the Marines. Just like somebody's in his ear feeding him everything. I am President Biden.
I am President Biden.
I love lamp.
Not with a question mark, President. I am President Biden.
Okay, you got me with that Anchorman reference because
I love lamp.
I'm feeling that.
When I saw that story, it's interesting that you bring this up because that is kind of a digital piece of information. Look at you. You just can't turn it off.
Yeah, just always.
We'll pay you extra for that. When I saw that story, it was suggested that that was because somebody is in his ear with an earpiece telling him what to do as he goes through the process. And it was on Twitter. And I'm like, I need more proof than this tweet that that's actually what's happening. But he could have been saying it to Jill?
Let's just assume he's not wearing the world's smallest Bluetooth like in The Office when Jim and Pam are talking to each other in Scranton in New York.
I don't know The Office, but that sounds about right.
Let's just assume that that didn't happen. And let's say he was reminding Dr. Biden, his wife, that, you know, you should salute the Marines. Right. Well, A, she didn't. B, he didn't. And C... Don't you think that you shouldn't have to tell your wife on inauguration day, okay, when we walk in front of, you know, uniformed military, you might want to give that little salute.
A little nod or something.
Is she supposed to, though? I don't know.
I don't think she's required to. I think he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
For sure, because he is commander-in-chief.
He's the commander, yeah.
But it's not...
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I know that there would be kind of a scuttlebutt when Donald Trump, I remember he'd get off of Marine One and there'd be someone there and he'd always salute. I remember people criticizing him for that, suggesting that since he was not actual military, that he shouldn't be doing that. And people quickly clap back. They're like, he is the commander in chief.
Yes.
And it's absolutely okay for him to do that. And it's good. So, and then I remember people going back and saying the same thing about Obama as well. But I don't think that Jill Biden has a responsibility to do it. So to your point, Rob, why did he say that out
maybe,
loud?
Maybe he's reminding himself.
Right.
And then he immediately forgets to do it.
There's no
maybe
real
he
good
has
way.
No earpiece. Those are just the voices in his head.
Yes. And we can hear them. Let's do a little fake news. Katie, do you have one? Do you want to go off the top?
Sure.
Wait, Gabe, how did she do on that? Was that good?
Was this fine? Easy peasy?
Did she pick up
the... No, by the end of today, I want everyone to say one criteria about my skills.
Your production skills.
Well, wait till Tony Colombo gets in.
Yeah, God, he has a list already created. So
I'm sorry, Katie, I love you.
I'm just kidding. You know what? I have to say, I am so happy to have two people back in the studio with me. This is very nice. I was just telling Gabe, I miss our Fridays, all of us together in the studio, getting buck wild, being stupid. I'm
breathing the same air.
Yes. definitely that part. So my real fake is Slytherin. People wanted total transparency, and then they got what they wanted and realized they really couldn't handle it.
They really wanted Olaf's warm hugs.
Yes. That's what I really think.
Yeah, I think so. But I would say at the same time that transparency, if you don't like the result of what you're hearing being transparent, then you're probably not going to like it. People just want to hear what they want to hear. I mean, if you ever, there are only a few people in your life that you actually want an honest opinion from. Even when you say, honest opinion, then you ask them a question. There are only a couple, maybe two, maybe three people in your life that you can handle the unvarnished truth from. And the American people are never going to get the unvarnished truth from any administration. Like I was saying off air before with Jen Psaki, any good press secretary answers very few questions but says true things. You just don't answer the question, you pivot and you say something else that's true that they can't bust you on, and you just have to be resilient. We did see Sarah Sanders, I think Ryan called him American Gladiators before. I thought that was a good reference. What do you think? What do you think, Ryan?
I think that people do want transparency. So I'm not going to say fake news. Well, depending on, you said people don't actually want, so I guess real news. But I think that they just want other things more. Like they're actually willing to sacrifice transparency for an agenda.
They want confirmation.
Yes, yes. Pretty much the same thing as you said, Annie, just more well put in my words, I would say.
I'm going to go fake news on that. What do you think, Gabe?
I'm actually going to go real news on this. We were kind of talking about that already, but it's kind of like learning how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's one thing. It's like, you know, if you're sitting to a plate of breakfast, you know, you got the maple syrup dripping off the pancakes onto the sweet sausage there. Oh, it's so good, right? And then, but then you take a peek inside the factory,
really?
Not even the whole thing, just a portion of the factory, and we're like, is this how this really happens? And you're grossed out, at least for a little while.
Yeah, you're still eating sausage.
Until you go back to Denny's.
Yeah.
So I think Trump pulled back the curtain a little bit, because, you know, and I've talked about this, the naked politics, basically, is what we had in the Trump era, where he's an arrogant, egotistical, sort of self-centered. It's like, yeah, that's all presidents.
It's just the way it manifests itself out and for people to see.
If you think everybody else is dumb except me, I need to rule the planet. If you're going for the presidency, there's some measure of that in you.
Rob, how many people in your life do you allow to give you the unvarnished truth? Or do you just know the unvarnished?
That's a loaded way of asking that question, I feel like, because as a married man,
I want honesty from my wife.
You know, if my wife was listening right now, I don't think she would say I let her do anything. She is her own woman
first
in person.
Of all,
exactly.
Well, I think it's time to let you know that Ryan Wiggins gives his wife an allowance. So,
oh, wow.
And haven't changed that even after the shame I've endured on this show.
That's why we're still shaming you.
That's right.
Shame. I have a bell in my office. I
get unvarnished truth from my host here.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Do you have people in your life that you go to get it straight, Rob, to get the straight opinion from people? Or
I think that's the funny thing. Yes and no, because I go to some people and ask their opinion, and I know they're going to cherry top it a little bit, right? And that's okay, because they're going to give you that half truth, but they're going to have a little bit of an extra lacquer on top of it, you know, to smooth things out.
That's the Katie Fitzpatrick.
That is 100%. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because people can't handle the truth.
Nope, and she knows it.
I can handle it, but Katie, you still put a cherry on top each and every time.
You just said there's two or three people, Annie. I'm one of the three people in your life that you can handle the truth.
I'm one of the three people.
You're one of probably two people, Katie, that in my life that I would trust to give me, that I would give the opportunity to give me an honest answer.
I know your dad's the other one.
No, with my husband. Are you kidding? Ryan, real quick, you got a real or fake? We'll breeze through this. Katie, we'll get an extra
Annie
minute.
Has to answer this one last, actually. I put some Christmas gifts on Annie's porch today. Does she even know it right now? Don't look at the screen.
Rob will go first.
Rob will go first.
Rob will go first. Hi, me.
Is it your wife's allowance?
I'm going to say fake, because I feel like somebody would have noticed a flaming bag of poop on her front stoop by about now.
And it's poop again.
Somebody would have called it or something. So I'm going fake.
I'm going to say real news. Annie has no idea it was there.
No, she has no idea.
It's real or fake, and he asked a yes or no question.
The answer is she has
no idea. So I'm going to say fake news to just the foundation of your question. And we're going to go to break right now. Rob, great to see you. Gabe and Katie are going to stick around, and I am going to go check my porch. So, no, I did not know that. I hope it's not poop again.
Again.
It's been on fire for a long time. So.
This is the best day of my life.
Kind of rude of my neighbors not even to say anything.
Yeah, your whole front yard's gone.
Oh my gosh. All right, more Annie Fry Show probably in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.